It is such a joyful time for the Awakening community as we welcome Yogachar Ellen Grace O'Brien, our beloved teacher. My name is Nancy Ballinger, and I'm the spiritual director and founding minister of Awakening, an interfaith spiritual community here in Morro Bay, just now. She's the founder and director of the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment, with its world headquarters in San Jose, California. It is a ministry in the lineage of Kriya Yoga teachings, and it is now entering its 32nd year of ministry. Yogacharya is a term of respect that is given to a yoga teacher. And as I share with you about our teacher, I'm sure you'll, with me, understand more about why she has this honor. She's the author of several books on meditation and spiritual practice, and the books that she has written are in this publication. We meant to have some Living the Eternal Way books here, but as I look around the group, I see that many of you already have the Living the Eternal Way book. But that is a core text that we share as far as the teachings and the spiritual practices of Kriya Yoga. And that is available and will continue to be available through Awakening. She's also the editor of the Enlightenment Journal, which is on the back table, and that is free. And it has a listing of all of the various text books and CDs that are available. Among them are her teaching on the Bhagavad Gita and on the Upanishads, which is so exciting to have these ancient teachings so available to us in this day and age. She also hosts a weekly radio program, the Yoga Hour, and there's a little brochure on the back table about some upcoming programs. I download those to my iPod because I'm not available when it's going on, but it's really so delightful to be able to check in with her every week and to explore different teachings that are in alignment with these Kriya teachings. She's a frequent speaker at conferences, both nationally and internationally, and is, again, a very respected teacher in this yoga teaching tradition. I think I said everything. Well, I can't say everything, but I would like to say that she comes here this weekend in support of the Awakening community and this whole Central Coast community. And so I'm so delighted that you're going to be able to share this evening of teachings. Please help me welcome Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien. Band is going to now chant Gayatri Mantra, which will take us into the time of teachings.
Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be with you. And thank you for the beautiful prayer and for the introduction and for keeping our identities straight this year. We were chatting yesterday, designation, Yogacharya, to be called that is new for me. And so Reverend Ballinger was asking about that and how she should introduce me. And we were talking about what it means. And basically it means yoga teacher. Yoga, acharya, means teacher. So, but it is usually used when as a title of respect for someone who is teaching in the yoga tradition. So, but when we were talking about it, Reverend Ballinger accidentally said, well, when I introduce you as Brahmacharya, O'Brien, and I said, please don't do that because my husband would be very upset because a Brahmacharya is a celibate person. And so... So now we have all the introductory material smoothed out, and we can just begin. So how many of you are associated with the Awakening Spiritual Community? Most of you here? Okay. I should have asked, how many of you are not affiliated with Awakening, have come from another group, but I know you. That's great. Okay, very good. Welcome. Good to be with all of you. Well, let's begin with just a moment of prayer, shall we? It's a centering prayer. And the beautiful offering of the Gayatri Mantra. Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha. The prayer begins with an acknowledgement of all of the components of being, the material, the mental, the spiritual, all the realms, the earth, the atmosphere, the heavens, as all one seamless reality. Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha. So we address all the levels of consciousness, physical, mental, spiritual, and the realms of existence, the earth, the atmosphere, the heavenly realms. And then the prayer says, let us meditate upon that radiant light of Supreme Consciousness. Let us meditate upon that radiant light of Supreme Consciousness. And may that inspire our thoughts. So this is a beautiful way for us to begin this evening with our opening prayer. For a moment to meditate upon that radiant light, the inner light of awareness, the essence of our being, the light that illumines the mental field and really makes our thought possible. But as we become conscious of this inner light, that we are gathered for this truth gathering in that reality. And we know that as we more fully open ourselves to experience that, truth of our being. Transformation becomes accelerated for us. So let us acknowledge this divine reality, omnipresent, everywhere present at all times. Acknowledge the saints and the sages of all enlightened traditions. With gratitude for the light that they shine into our world for souls to find their way home. And in this gathering, let us honor and acknowledge the sages, the gurus, in the tradition of Kriya Yoga, represented by Mavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Paramahansa Yogananda, Roy Eugene Davis, and their successors. So let us feel that we are stepping into that stream of grace and power. Quenching our souls with inspiration this evening and with divine communion in our meditation. We acknowledge the divine nature of every person. And let us offer that our time here this evening may be a blessing, that it may plant seeds of peace, spiritual illumination in our families, in our community, and in our world. And will you chant Om with me now gently? We'll chant three times. Teachings of yoga, thousands of years old. You know, the Vedas were first an oral tradition and then at some point became written down. And they are the Vedas are the source of all the systems of Indian philosophy. And yoga is one of those seven systems. I mentioned that phrase to you because I came across a new name for the divine reality. You know, divine reality, people call it Father, Mother, Spirit, Friend, Beloved, Jesus, Allah, you know, many different names, right? The name I came across was in writings of Paramahansa Yogananda, and he actually capitalized this name of the divine, and the name is something else. Something else. So this is the quote that I pulled it from. Mankind is engaged in an eternal quest for that something else, which he has in lowercase. He hopes will bring him happiness, complete and unending. For those individual souls who have sought and found God, the search is over. God is that something else. And there he capitalizes it. So I think that, you know, we all experienced, at least I'm guessing that's the case, looking for something else in our life. Would you say that's true? Sort of wandering along, looking for that something else that is going to bring that fulfillment that doesn't run out. The happiness that doesn't disappoint. Or sometimes, you know, it's just a feeling that we don't know exactly what, but a sense that there's got to be something else. You know, it may be that life is hard, it's difficult for us, and we think, well, there's got to be another way. You know, I've tried this, I've tried that. There's got to be something else other than the way I'm doing it. But sometimes, you know, even when life is really sweet, you know, and it's good, we still have this little, what is it? You know, like a yearning that there's something else. There's something else for us in this life. Besides the things that we've experienced so far. And so, you know, we all have this innate yearning. And this yearning really is to know God, to know the ultimate truth, and to find that happiness that will not ultimately disappoint us. To find that fulfillment that will be unconditional. So we have that innate yearning for that. Now, when you think about this, and I'm going to guess that you can relate to what I'm talking about when I sort of point to that yearning, that whether life is difficult or whether it's great, there's a little something there that we want. Now, Paramahansa Yogananda said something so powerful. He said, you would not even yearn to know God if it were not possible for you to do so. Now, I also liken that teaching to being hungry for something that we've tasted. So, you know, you can't really be hungry for something that you have never tasted. But something that we know, you know, is a sweet taste or a delicious taste, we hunger for that. We want that. And so his statement that we would not yearn to know God if it were not possible for us to actually know God, to actually find that fulfillment. Having this yearning, looking for your glasses, if you will, and not really knowing that you have them on, and looking everywhere. Think of all the years that you searched, and you searched for happiness or fulfillment. Think of all the ways that you looked. Think of all the things that you tried. Think of all the hopes and the dreams. And still that yearning. So, you know, what the path of Kriya Yoga gave to me was, what I like to call access. So, you know, I had heard the teachings in various ways throughout my life, you know, that the kingdom of God is within you. But that made no sense to me at all. I mean, it sounded nice, and it felt good to hear it, but I didn't know what it meant. And it wasn't transforming to me to simply have someone tell me that. Because I had no way that I knew to discover how to enter that kingdom of God within me. It might have been there, but I had no idea where the door was. When I looked inside, you know, mostly it was just digestion and thoughts. So yoga provided both a philosophy to help me understand this nature of reality itself, and then a practice so that I could test it out, you know, in the laboratory of my life, in the laboratory of my own experience. So I wasn't told that I needed to simply believe. I actually was told that I needed to experience it for myself. And that was very helpful to me. That was encouraging to me. Not only that I could, but that I should, and actually that it was my ultimate destiny, and was the ultimate destiny of every person to experience that truth of their being, to be able to enter that, whatever you call it, reality, kingdom, essential self within. So I met my guru, Roy Eugene Davis, in 1979. And at that time in my life, it was clear to me that I was looking for something else, only I didn't know that something else was God's name. I just learned that today. But I think it's a perfect name for God, don't you? That's great. You'll say, what do you worship? Something else. It goes very well with the wisdom school of yoga. Not this, it's not this, it's not that, it's something else. So, you know, I knew I was searching for something else. And really I was looking for honest, I think when we honest with ourselves, you know, we really look down at the root of what it is we want, that's high on our list. We want to be happy. And certainly we'd like to avoid suffering. That's basic for all sentient beings, to avoid suffering and be happy. We also, of course, want to live. We want to live abundantly and fully. And not just for a little while. Have you noticed that? We're interested in eternal life. And again, I think it's because that's the truth about us. So we know that, and we're looking for how we come to experience that, how we come to realize that eternal life. So I knew I had found a path. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what it was going to require of me, but I simply knew that I resonated with the message that there's one reality. It doesn't matter what you call it. Life, God, Spirit, Father, Mother. It is. It's the source of life. It's the substance of life. And because it is all that is, it is what we are. We can't be separate from it. That which is omnipresent means everywhere, present all the time. So right where we are, that reality is. And therefore, we have the ability to experience it directly. To experience it and to know it. That was the first time I had ever heard that message. You know, I had been raised in a culture where there was some, my family wasn't religious, but you know, certainly the culture around me was. And the idea was that God was some supreme being out there in space that you would pray to. But here is a teaching that said, no, there's only one reality. It's everywhere at all times. So it's right where you are. And because it's right where you are, you can know it. But you probably need a little assistance to find the door, to get in to the inner realms. And so that's where the techniques of yoga come in. Because yoga teaches that this supreme consciousness, that which we are, is the light of our being, our essence of being. And it shines into the mind. It makes thought and perception possible. What we, especially in the West, are used to identifying with the mind, you know, to thinking that our minds are conscious and we are the mind. You know, sort of live up here. Some of us, you know, can say, well, I'm not my body, but we tend to think that we are the thinking apparatus. Am I right? So what this teaching says, no. Your thoughts are changing all the time. And besides that, you're observing them, aren't you? Most of the time. You can observe your thoughts. So if you're able to observe your thoughts, what are you? You're not anything that you can observe. You are the light of consciousness itself shining into the mind. So we need some kind of a process that helps us quiet the mind a little bit so we're not all caught up in thought and we can simply then experience that which we are, our essence, that inner light of awareness that shines into the mind. And this is really the definition of yoga. Yoga means to bind back, and it has to do with our attention and our awareness coming to rest in our essential nature. See, generally, our light, our essence of being is shining into the mind, and we're involved in thought activity, and we get caught up in thought, and we identify with our thoughts and our feelings. This is me. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm experiencing. But we are that eternal light of supreme consciousness that's making all that possible. And all that changes, you know, changes not only day to day, but moment to moment. So the technique of superconscious meditation is probably the best technique that we get in our toolbox of yoga to help us learn how to get beyond identifying with the mind, get beyond involvement with mental activity. So there are many techniques in yoga to help us learn how to, they all arise on the superconscious state, which is the ground of being that makes them all possible. So you have your ordinary waking state. That's kind of where we are a lot of the time, thinking, perceiving, experiencing, responding, reacting. That light of superconsciousness is what's making all of that possible. And when you sleep, you're still your essential self. What you really are is still awake. It's always awake because you are supremely conscious. You weren't born. You won't die. You don't sleep. I'm not talking about insomnia. I'm talking about consciousness. So you know when you sleep whether you've had restful sleep or not, right? You know the quality of your sleep. So how would you know that? Unless you had the ability to observe it. Unless some part of you was awake while you're sleeping. So yoga philosophy has us look at what are we really? Supreme consciousness. How do we experience that for ourselves? How do we know it for ourselves? And meditation, superconscious meditation, is really the best tool. Because once we experience our thought activity subsiding, mental field getting quiet, we just hang out in experiencing that which we are, as we are. And that calling card of our essential nature is peace and something else. So when we touch our essence of being, when we consciously rest in that which we are, we find that something else. And what I mean by that is we experience that all desire passes, that we experience complete fulfillment. everything is okay. You know that yearning for something else, it goes on a lot of the time. There's sort of a little bit of a wheel that's turning. We want this, we want that, we're going here, we're going there. When you settle into superconscious meditation and you experience your own innate wholeness, there's nothing else to find. There's nothing else that you want or need, and you know that for yourself. And that is liberating. It's liberating. And when you think of all the time and energy we put into wanting this or that, thinking that it's going to make us better or fix us or give us something. Now, I'm not going to say that things that we experience in life, whether it's in our relationships, in our work, in beautiful lifestyles that we have, I'm not going to say that those things don't make us happy. They do. And sometimes they make us miserable too. But it's just that we have to come to recognize things can only provide what they are. So, I want you to think about that. Something can only give you what it is. There, we're always going to be looking for the something else because it will continue to change. But the something else that is the divine, that is your own essential nature, does not change. So once we discover that, it gives us kind of peace and freedom from thinking that something else is going to give it to us. So it doesn't mean that we don't enjoy things in the world anymore. It just means that we don't make a mistake about them. And that's a beautiful freedom. All right, so I don't want to talk to you too much about meditation without meditating with you. So we're going to do that in a moment, but I want to share with you because this should have flames coming out of it because it's just so hot off the press. It arrived literally this day before yesterday, I guess. Yeah. So this seems like a harmless little children's story, and it is, but it's also sort of a stealth teaching. it's the Vedic philosophy about the nature of creation being sacred and divine. And also in the model of yoga teachings, it is taught that there's one eternal, unchanging reality, one absolute reality that has an unchanging aspect, a transcendental aspect that is pure and still without attributes, unchanging, pure spirit being. And then there is an aspect of this reality that is with attributes and is continually emanating divine power, and this divine energy or power emanates the primal sound of Om, the primal vibration, of energy in the universe is Om. And this gives rise to all of the building blocks of creation itself, from the subtle to the gross elements in nature. So this is a little story that's kind of written like a fairy tale, but that teaching about the nature of reality is included in it. So I'm going to, it's not your bedtime yet, but I'm going to read it to you. It's called Once Before Time. And of course, there's part of the teaching right there. So I want to read to you the foreword to the book that was written by my guru, Roy Eugene Davis. Father, Mother, God, and the Dance of Creation. God as Father, the male aspect, is omnipresent and remains behind the veil of creation. God as Mother, the female aspect, actively expresses as all of nature, including the universe with its suns and moons and as every living thing. God is one, but has different aspects in order to fulfill the purposes of creation. Behold God in all forms, in all activities, and know that behind the forms, behind the activities, is the single reality. Learn to see and appreciate the goodness of life, the goodness of God, all around you and as your very life. So, once before time, Divine Father was resting. So, you probably can't see, you'll have to look at the books on the table. But I want you to notice that I said Divine Father was resting. I didn't say he was sleeping, because I've experienced this in your own households. She noticed that Divine Father was having a dream, but his dream did not have any form. So, there's just the potentials in the transcendental field, but it is not moving and changing until Divine Mother gets involved. Because she loved him very much, we have a picture of Divine Mother, she began to dance the dance of creation so he could have form to his dream. All right. She moved with the rhythm of the oceans, the rivers, and the little winding streams. Turning day and night, she danced the dance of the sun and the moon and the bright twinkling stars. Stretching high and bending low, she became the tall mountains and the little rolling hills. Here and there, she paused and bowed for the great forests and all trees everywhere. Naturally, she danced the dance of animals and fish and birds and bees, while the seasons turned with her into rain and sun, wind and snow. The book has these exquisite illustrations done by Tom Pepino, cosmic illustrations. She danced the dance of seeds and beautiful flowers in bloom, and she did not forget the butterflies. Somehow that seemed really important. I'm not sure why, but everybody seems to get it when we get to that page. She even danced the dance of fathers and mothers and all children everywhere. So, of course, here, you know, we're saying that all of nature is sacred and divine, and all of life, the animals, the birds, the beasts, the butterflies, human beings, are all the divine creation. To this day, all people dance to bring form to their dreams. So this divinity goes on, the creation, the divine creation, through each one of us. And this shows us this little girl is having a dream. I don't know if it's her own self flying or she's dreaming that her little brother is being sent off somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what she's dreaming. And of course, Divine Mother is still dancing so that we will remember her. But most of all, she still dances so that we will remember Divine Father, whose dream it is. There's a lovely last image in the book, has a child in the cosmos. And when I was sharing this book with my granddaughter, I asked her, you know, what was her favorite picture in the book? And she said she liked this one. And I said, well, why do you like it? And she said, well, I like it because he's having a dream. She's six, my granddaughter. She said, I like it because he's having a dream, but he doesn't know that he's having a dream. Once before time. So let's meditate together. And I mentioned earlier, even without a technique at all, if we simply intended to meditate, you know, at the soul level of our being, we already know how to do that. So if we simply intended to meditate and sat, closed our eyes, and just watched inwardly, observed our thought process, our thoughts would settle by themselves, and we would experience meditation. So just know that if you sit long enough, your thoughts will clear, and you will experience the super consciousness that is natural to you, because that's your primary, really, a meditation, sort of relaxing into that unbounded field of divine consciousness, expanding into it. So we acknowledge that unbounded field of divine consciousness as our own essential nature. We put forth our intention to meditate superconsciously. Which means to experience our essence of being, this state of consciousness that is super or beyond ordinary states of consciousness, where we're identified with contents in the mental field. So let's just focus on our breath for a moment. Feel your breathing in. Feel the air coming in, striking your nostrils, filling your lungs, and feel the air as it moves out again. And then bring your inner gaze up to the spiritual eye, that point just between and slightly above the eyebrows. And if you want to imagine that you're breathing through this point, through the spiritual eye, so just imagine that you can feel the breath entering at this chakra center. And let your inner gaze, even with your eyes closed, your inner gaze be focused at that point. Imagining or feeling that the breath is moving through your forehead. Let all the muscles around your eyes be relaxed and just gently focus on that point. And as your thoughts begin to settle, and you're focused at the spiritual eye, you may begin to be able to perceive inner sound. So listen within your inner ear, within the skull. Whatever sound you hear that's a steady sound, listen to that subtle sound and yearn to know what is beyond that so that you're listening ever more deeply. And all sounds emanate from Om, the primal sound. The energy of God moving in and through all creation. So this mantra, Om, as a vibration, a resonance, is always resounding within us. And when we get quiet, we listen, we can perceive it. Listen to whatever sound you hear inwardly, steady sound, and know that it is emanating, as all sound does, from the primal sound of Om. So feel that you are immersed in the Om vibration. Meditate upon it. And yearn to know So that moment of noticing that your attention has wandered is a beautiful moment of coming back to yourself. Your own self is shining the light for you. So as we conclude our meditation this evening, let's take a moment to simply affirm, to feel that radiance of our essential self, that inner light is shining into the mental field. So feel and affirm and know that your mind is illumined. So let's practice affirming a little bit together this evening. I'll offer an affirmation, and then if you'd like to, please repeat it with me. So, contemplating this experience of your radiant essential self, let us affirm, my mind is illumined. Together, my mind is illumined. And then when you affirm, of course, the key is to feel it. So to feel that your mind is illumined. So let's try it together one more time. My mind is illumined. And just feel that your mind is radiant with the light of spirit. And let us affirm, my thoughts are well ordered. My thoughts are well ordered. My discernment is keen. My discernment is keen. My intuition is awakened. My body is healthy, vital, and strong. My body is healthy, vital, and strong. My relationships are healthy and harmonious. My relationships are healthy and harmonious. And I thrive and I prosper in all ways. I thrive and I prosper in all ways. So just take a moment to feel that to be true for yourself from the soul level of your being. You are always prospering. You're always in harmony. You're always healthy, vital, strong, pure, and bright. So know that to be true for you at the soul level of your being. And that if there are any conditions in your life to be adjusted, to be in harmony with that truth of your being, that right now things are moving and changing through divine grace and divine power in your life, all coming into the highest harmony. So feel that to be true. And let us offer our thoughts of loving kindness, of goodwill, and compassion for all people everywhere. So feel that this health and well-being and prosperity that you affirm for yourself, you want and know for all people everywhere, that all beings may thrive, prosper, experience freedom, and enlightenment. And bless them. Feel that you are a broadcasting station for blessing. And send out your blessings to people everywhere. And let us give thanks for this time of sweet communion in satsang, in spiritual community, divine communion with something else. Om Shanti Shanti Hari Om Shanti. May absolute peace and divine love pervade the whole universe.
When I didn't see it in myself, and for that I will forever, forever be grateful to you. It's funny, this afternoon I spent hours, well, not hours, but an hour preparing my little thing, my little introduction that I was going to do this evening, and only to drop it and and that's basically what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that you've had laryngitis this week, and you did a beautiful job this evening.
Yeah, my om was a little off tone, but and I was thinking, you know, I just that feeling, like, you know, you say you have a frog in your throat, and Michael and I took our little granddaughter to a play this weekend, and there was a frog in the play, and his line was, "I have a human in my throat."
So
I digress. Excuse me.
So I just want to deeply, deeply, deeply thank you for these many years together and the many years to come. I want to thank Mary Lou. Where are you, Mary Lou? Mary Lou, thank you so much, and all the volunteers that for months have been planning this beautiful, beautiful space. And so I thank you so much for doing that.
And thank you for the solid chair this year. If you were here last year, you might have remembered the Lazy Boy incident, in which I didn't know that the chair went back, but I discovered.
Oh, sure, we had our fun last year, but this year we decided not to do that.
Yeah, it was great.
The ushers are going to get together the baskets for the free will offering for this evening, and so I would like to invite you to prepare that while I tell you a little bit about what the rest of the evening might hold in store and tomorrow morning. So this evening, again, we have yummy, yummy, yummy offerings on the table that we're going to be for here for a half hour. And so I invite you to continue this satsang in enjoying of our beautiful things that are being offered over there. Of course, after you finished trying to show the book, I thought I could have walked across with the book and shown them beautiful, beautiful illustrations. I received my first copy last night, and I'm here to buy three more tonight, and then I'm just getting started. So I really hope you will take a look at the beautiful, beautiful, you heard the beautiful words and see the beautiful pictures in the books, buying them for grown-ups and kids. So, and you'll be signing them.
I'll be doing that, yes.
Yes, and so those will be available on the back table. We have information about the...
I'll tell you, you can go ahead with the offering, and then
okay.
I'll tell them.
Begin doing that. Thank you. So you want to tell them about that? And then I want to say one... Oh, you want to tell them about tomorrow, too?
No, you can.
Okay. I will tell you about tomorrow, too. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we're going to have more of these powerful teachings on Kriya Yoga. And then we'll have a Kriya initiation for everyone who either at that point feels prepared for initiation, and you'll be talking about that, so they'll know. You'll know tomorrow. And then also anyone who has already been initiated, if you would like to renew your commitment to your vows.
Now, tomorrow we'll focus on practices, so it'll be more experiential. Tomorrow, tonight was informal talk, but tomorrow... we'll focus on practice. Okay, and so 10 o'clock, but at Awakening.
10 o'clock at Awakening in the sanctuary.
Okay, so what I have here are two other invitations for you, for us to meet again. So, of course, I want to invite you all to make a trip to San Jose to Center for Spiritual Enlightenment there if you've not had that opportunity to do that. We always welcome you to come. And you may want to come in January. The weekend of January 4, 5, and 6 is our annual New Year's retreat. And January 5th is the birth anniversary of Paramahansa Yogananda. So our New Year's retreat is focused on his teachings and honoring him, and just energetically, it's such an inspired way to begin the new year. So there is not housing at the center, but just right across the street, there's a motel, so you can stay there and then you can walk across for the program. So it's Friday night, and also, of course, our other presenters who will be there. It's a real treat. And this particular Kriya Yoga Congress, the dates, March 6, 7, 8, and 9, coincide with the Mahasamadhi anniversaries. The Mahasamadhi anniversary is when an enlightened being consciously leaves their body. And it's said that that time when devotees gather has a special quality to it that is auspicious. This will be the Mahasamadhi anniversaries of Paramahansa Yogananda and his guru, Sri Yukteswar. So both those anniversaries will take place during the Congress, and also the 82nd birthday of Roy Eugene Davis. So it'll be really a very lovely, lovely time. And after the Congress will end with a vegetarian banquet on Saturday night, and then Sunday we have services at our headquarters, at our center, and tours of the center, because it takes up like a city block. And so we have tours going on for people who are from out of the area and want to experience their home away from home. So this is my personal invitation to you to attend the Kriya Yoga Congress. You register at the hotel, get yourself a space so that you can kind of be there for the whole thing and on retreat. And I think the Awakening Group, now this knows I'm done, the Awakening Group will have some carpooling going on. So stay tuned, but go ahead and register now so that you'll be sure to get a room. Okay. Good night, everyone. Namaste. Reverence to the divine within you. It's a real joy seeing you tonight. Blessings. Thank you.